Hey friends, I wanted to invite you to my upcoming full moon circle at Moonshine Yoga in Cedar Park, Texas. It will be held on Friday, March 22nd from 7 to 8:30 p.m. It will be a night full of learning certain meditations, yoga, and other rituals, essential oils, plant medicine that can help you feel grounded during this ungrounded time. And also, if you're a person, you're like, I don't know what to do with this full moon energy. It makes you tired, it makes you restless or nervous or something else. This event is for you because you will then learn the tools for every full moon moving forward. So I hope you can join us. I know this episode is gonna cover a lot. But there's something to be said about being in community during a full moon and with other feminine energies. So I will leave the link to sign up in the show notes, and I would really, really love to connect with you in this way. Now on to the episode. Hey friends, welcome to Yoga and Podcasts. This show explores how yoga can cross over into daily life. Join your host, me, Ashley Weber, bi-monthly as I interview mind-body luminaries worldwide, as well as a sprinkling here and there of my own solo episodes, as I do have a lot to share as well. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode, y'all. Hey everybody, this is Ashley, and I thought I would do an episode on full moon rituals, and I am knee deep in that research right now, and I'm feeling really inspired, so I thought I would record this morning. I have a lot of coffee in my system, and I'm loving that buzz. So at the time that this is being published, we're coming up on the warm full moon, and quite the name. I feel really strongly about practicing full moon rituals because I think if you're a deeply feeling person, you feel the energies of the world, the collective, of nature, and nature actually has a lot of wisdom to share with us. The full moon can be very ungrounding for some. And so sometimes we don't know what to do with that energy, that ungrounded feeling. And finding ritual and creating time for that ritual, I think helps process those emotions. So let me explain the full moon. So the full moon, we see it out in the sky. We probably have all heard this, that the full moon does influence the tides in the ocean. And we are made of mostly water. So why wouldn't the full moon also influence us, our watery, watery body? And, you know, nurses, doctors will say, you know, there's a lot of people at the ER during a full moon, right? So there is reason that the full moon can create this unstable feeling. A good friend of mine, Allison Sims, who is an incredible yoga teacher, I would go to her classes when she lived in the States, and they were all about the full moon. And she explains the full moon as having a full stomach. So the full moon represents the past 30 days. And so whatever happened in the past 30 days, let's digest that. Let's not do a whole lot. We don't need to do all the things. We don't need to make a to-do list. We don't need to write a bunch of intentions. Instead, let's do rituals to clear and make space for the new, which the full moon will be just around the corner. That's when you do mostly all the intention stuff, and that's when the energy is high to plant new seeds. But during a full moon, you kind of do the opposite. You retreat inward, okay? Okay, so let me back up and talk about yin energy. And I bet I'm
bet this is familiar, but I just want to remind what yin energy is. So we all have seen the yin yang symbol. It's like a circle and it has a black tadpole with a white dot and a white tadpole with a black dot. And that's the yin yang symbol. Well, the yin is the black tadpole with the white dot. And so yin yang represents energies in the natural world. All energies, everything in the natural world contains yin and yang, okay? Yin is the moon, represents the full moon. It represents darkness. It represents the internal world. Physically, yin can be expressed in the body as relaxing muscle away from bone, surrendering to gravity, allowing your body to become heavy on the earth, letting go. Also, the ability to receive, receptivity, right? These are a few things. Feminine energy, and when I say feminine energy, I don't mean gender, I mean an energy. So lately I've been called to do full moon circles for women, or, you know, women identifying people. And it's just really felt like a calling. And so that's why I've been doing a lot of research on it lately. I'm getting ready to facilitate my next full moon women's circle soon. Okay, so going back to the worm full moon that's coming up on March 25th. So at the time this is being published, it's March 20th. Assuming you're listening the day of, here's the thing about the full moon. The full moon energy, I feel it a few days before the actual full moon and a few days after. What I mean by that is I feel like someone has taken my energy, or I feel generally speaking fatigue. That's just me. You could feel energized. You could feel something else. You could feel sad. You could feel happy. Generally, most full moons make me really tired, and I really actually like knowing, I like blaming that on the full moon, like, oh, there's a reason. If you know me, I blame everything on astrology and the planets. I say that tongue in cheek. I like knowing why I'm tired, because otherwise I feel like something's wrong with me. And so at least when I know there's a full moon happening and I feel fatigued, I'm like, okay, this too shall pass. So the worm full moon coming up on March 25th is about, so earthworms, so this is, you know, native, this is a native name of the moon, and it's about earthworms coming up from the earth and kind of breaking through the ice and the emergence of spring. It's a really good time to make amends and seek closure in your life, according to some native traditions. And before I get into full moon rituals, I just like to preface that, you know, cultures all over the world celebrate the full moon in different ways. And I'm just taking the time to, you know, share what has worked for me over the years, what other teachers have taught me. We'll start with smudging. And I want to really be clear about smudging. So there's been a request for the people of the First Nations that the sage, the white sage, the seed of the white sage has been compromised, the integrity of it, because being mass produced, right? So I don't know, if you live in Austin, you go to the grocery store, you can buy white sage. This used to be a very sacred thing for, you know, the native people. And so they are requesting that the white sage be used sparingly, okay? And so that doesn't mean, I'm not trying to shame anyone for purchasing white sage, but just understand that this is a sacred plant medicine that has been mass produced, and And we want to keep it, you know, sacred, right? We don't want the integrity of the seed to be compromised any more than it already is. So I say that because there's a lot of other options. If you live in Austin, Texas, or the Texas area, we are covered in cedar trees. They have two names, mountain cedar, also known as ash juniper. And believe it or not, you can dry these little clumps of cedar and burn them, and they actually purify the air. It's been scientifically proven. But we have an abundance of them. So why go out and buy white sage when what's free around you is cedar? And okay, I know cedar gets a bad rep because of cedar fever, but let me explain this. The males are the ones that are the problem. The male trees create the pollen. I love men, by the way. I'm not trying to hate on males. So you would not burn a clump of cedar that was covered in pollen. That doesn't make any sense. But there's plenty of cedars out there that have no pollen. Like, you know, pollen is yellow. It's obvious. I'm saying just dry some cedar. Okay, I'm going to get off this whole cedar thing, and then we're going to move. We're going to refocus. So just know that there's many different plant medicines. You can burn mugwort. You can burn rosemary. You can burn oregano, thyme. Like, you can get really, you can burn garden sage. It doesn't have to be that white sage. So there's options for you out there. Okay, so moving down the list. Something else I like to do is just kind of write out stream of consciousness writing everything I'm feeling. And especially things that came up in the past 30 days, just write it out. And the reason why you would write it out with a pen and paper and you wouldn't type it out, or you wouldn't audio it out. I mean, you could, that clears the throat chakra, but writing it out, your arms and your hands are an extension of your heart chakra, right? And if we're clearing and we're trying to open to a new 30-day cycle, I think it's very cathartic to physically write it out. And I'll set the clock for the alarm for 5 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes. It depends. Whatever emotions I'm feeling, if I'm feeling like I have a lot of bottled up emotions coming up around the full moon, you know, the full moon brings things to light, then maybe I set the timer for 20 minutes. And I just write and write and write and write and write. And it doesn't even have to make any sense. And then after, you know, maybe I feel like I got it all out and the timer's still going and it's not quite 20 minutes or whatever I set it to, I continue to rewrite, like just repeat. And then it's really important that you, after you write, you let that go. So you could either burn the paper. I love to burn things, so that's what I do. You could rip it up, you could throw it in the trash. It's important to remove it from your home, right? Because that's energy. That's a lot of energy on paper. You don't want to leave it around. Okay, so I talked about smudge, but I did not talk about like the how-tos. So smudging, if you don't already know, it's you're burning plant medicine, creating a smoke, and then you're using that smoke to latch on to any negative energy or to clear out energy. You can smudge a home, a room. You can smudge your own body. I do all of it all the time. If you're someone really sensitive to energy, once you start smudging regularly, you will not go back. It's especially important to smudge during the full moon because you want to clear that old energy from the 30 days, right? All right, moving on to moon paper. I love moon paper. I'm really into it. And I don't know if this is commonly talked about, but I cut up paper. I use the paper to write on, but I set the squares of paper. I do 13 pieces of paper. This eventually I'll use to write my intents during the new moon, but not during the full moon. The full moon, I lay the paper out and I let the paper get the moon absorb it. So moon paper. And then when the new moon comes, which is about 2 weeks later, I then write each intent. So 13 intents I want. So, you know, honestly, it works. I wanted to move to East Austin. I wrote that on a piece of paper and bam. And I'm not saying it's all the moon. Like, I'm saying that if there's 13 things you want and you take the time to, you know, set blank paper out under the full moon and then you wait 2 weeks. And then you really think about, okay, there's only 13 things I want to manifest. What do I want to manifest? That just in and of itself, that ritual gives you really clear guidance on what you really, really want. Now, I do 13 because I like the number 13. You can do whatever number you want of paper. And, you know, I believe in science. I also believe in a little bit of magic. So take that, like, understand that that's where I'm coming from with all that. But I will say, I look back at this ritual I do every month, and boy, do those things come to life. And sometimes it doesn't happen automatically. Sometimes you have to continue each month. You have to keep writing it. And then you get frustrated. It's like, God, why am I writing this for the fifth time? But then you find a way to make it happen, okay? So it's part moon, part you, obviously, right? Oh my gosh, we haven't even gotten to the yoga part yet. The yoga part, moon salutations. So you've heard of sun salutations. There are moon salutations. I love doing that in low lighting during a full moon. Like, I love to light candles or have fairy lights and do my moon meditations, my moon salutations. And if you don't know what they are, look them up. Yin yoga. Oh my God. So the full moon represents yin. The feminine is yin. I love these women's moon circles that I'm doing. And so, yeah, we do yin yoga. I'm a huge fan of yin yoga. Yin yoga is more about being and less about doing. So if you think about what balance means, you know, because everyone like wants to ideally find balance. You know, it's peaceful when you're balanced. And we live in a society that values doing and doing more. And then when you're done doing that, why don't you go knock off this other to-do list that you had that you haven't gotten around to, right? It's very much about doing in this culture. And I love teaching and doing yin yoga because it's like flipping the bird to this culture that wants to burn us out, frankly. I think it's gotten a little bit better since the pandemic has happened. Like, people are a little bit more open and willing to do less and kind of relax. But I don't think it's nearly enough. Yin yoga, you hold postures anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes, usually low to the ground. They're passive, meaning you don't really hold yourself up. You allow the props to hold you, the floor to hold you. And you gently open up your body over time, but it can be quite intense. Because we're tractioning and lengthening the less elastic tissues of the body, the connective tissue, the tendons, the ligaments. So that can feel like a lot. And so you learn how to be in a place of discomfort, slight discomfort, because the stretches are quite deep, the poses are quite deep. But you learn how to be present and you learn how to regulate your nervous system. That is powerful stuff. Like, so this is the difference. So before yin yoga, before I ever did it, and this is specifically yin yoga,
because I did all the other yogas, but not yin. When something really stressful would happen in my life, I would immediately like just shallow breathe. Like I would just kind of hold my breath. That was the old Ashley. Then I practice yin yoga. And this, you know, I practiced for a while to get to this place. Now when something stressful happens, I take a really big breath and I continue to breathe through it. And you, and it's, for me, it's a way to feel grounded, and you can make so much better decisions when you're grounded. When you're holding breath and you can barely breathe, it's hard to feel grounded. You don't feel connected. You don't feel supported by the ground. Oh my God, I could just talk about yin yoga forever. Okay, well, moving on. So I love the full moon because it, I believe we've all forgotten to dream. Or some of us, maybe more than others, this is a time to dream. So what I like to do is I like to start with a box breath. So a box breath is 4 counts, inhale, 4 counts, gently suspending your breath, 4 counts, exhaling, and 4 counts, holding that breath out and then starting over. So it's quite... there's quite a bit of pause between your inhales and your exhales. A full moon to me is that pause in your life, that pause, that pregnant pause. And it's kind of frustrating and you have to be patient. But within that, in these rituals you're doing, as you're processing that full moon energy and inevitably making space for new, what remains is your dreams, you know. And I sounds corny saying that out loud, but it's true. Like, we get caught up in the day-to-day, the to-dos, the shoulds, the pettiness sometimes. And then when you get into these rituals, all that surfacey stuff goes away and you can get to really to the heart of like who you are, the essence of who you are and what you truly want. And what truly brings you joy. And it's usually very, very simple things. And so it's about cutting the BS of life and getting to like the good stuff of life, right? And I, you know, I think that about all of the yoga and the meditation, right? And but the full moon is a profound time to practice it. Things that you can do as well, I'm sure you've heard of charging crystals and your malas. So you're gonna, like during the full moon, the night of the full moon, set your crystals. And if you don't know what a mala is, it's a 108 beaded necklace that they use for meditation. It's a sacred practice as well. They're usually made of different crystals and stones. So any stones, any crystals, any gems, you can set them on your windowsill in the light of the full moon and let them charge. You can do that with moon paper, as I mentioned earlier. You can also do moon water. You put, ideally it would be a glass jar, and you would put water in a glass jar, set it out at the light of the full moon. I am in herb school currently. I really, really love learning about plants. I love nature. I love plants. And this is just another way I get to celebrate that, is learning about herbs. And Tulsi is a really good tea for meditation. But I think for a full moon, I mean, it has so many wonderful things. Spiritually, it brings goodness, virtue, and joy. So Tulsi, also known as holy basil, is a herbal tea you can have. There's no caffeine in it, and it's a nervine, meaning it helps calm your nervous system. It also helps the endocrine system. It brings spiritual clarity and lightness, and it helps you deal with stress. It also heightens awareness and mental clarity. Tulsi helps to clear ama, meaning metabolic waste. Clears the mind of headaches and can create an antidepressant effect. It's good for clearing the lungs and helps with breathing and also has an enhancing effect on the cerebral function. And this is what I love about herbs, is as I'm studying all these different herbs, like each herb I've been studying, medicinal plant herbs, well, I mean, herbs are plants. Like, there's no non-plant herbs, I guess. Like, each herb has, like, a list of things that are good for you. It's, like, crazy to me. It's like a yoga pose. Yoga poses, like, each pose, there's, like, multiple things it's doing good for you, right? So combine that with herbs. It's pretty nice. You know, and I'm curious to hear about what you like about the full moon, what rituals you do with the full moon. I know, you know, pulling tarot cards, oracle cards is a great time. One thing I'll say about meditation, I like to practice manifestation meditation during the full moon, and I will share that in a later episode. Probably coming up in the next few months. But, you know, I just want to remind people that the full moon, if you feel weird, if you feel funny, you know, yoga and meditation are tools to help ground you during this time. And this too shall pass. All right. Until we meet again, thank you so much for listening. If this episode resonated with you, please share Yoga and Podcast with just one friend who you know will love it. Another way you could help the show grow is to rate and review it. I'll even send you some podcast stickers with a love note. So after you rate and review the show, please drop me a message with your mailing address and I'll hook you up. Thank you for your support. We could not grow without you. And we have grown in the past 4 years. We have grown because of you. So you have my undying love. If you want to say hi, our email address is yogaandpodcast@gmail.com. The and is spelled out. yogaandpodcast@gmail. Please follow us on Instagram at yogaandpodcast. We are on TikTok. The handle is also Yoga and Podcast. When you follow us, we follow right back on those platforms. Until next time, thank you for listening.